Some of the greater things are not just in neighborhoods, but they're in your life, in your heart. And the things that God has done, wonderful things in your life, but He wants to do greater things in your life. All right, today we're going to wind up talking about being redeemed, that God has redeemed us from captivity. He's redeemed us from sin. He's redeemed us from bondage. And the picture of the children of Israel as they left Egypt, the place of the curse, and God brought them out by blood, by His power, and He made them His people. And so we've looked at this verse a number of times, Psalm 130 and verse 7. Psalm 130 and verse 7, O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is abundant redemption. Now, we are redeemed from many horrible things. We're redeemed. The Bible says He redeemed our life from destruction. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. We are redeemed and brought out of the dominion of darkness, the power of sin. We're redeemed of everything that is in that kingdom and the works of the enemy. And so we thank God for this, these wonderful things that have happened to us and these great, great blessings. And yes, God has redeemed us from some things, but He has also redeemed us to something. That is, there's the other side of redemption. And yes, we are redeemed and we are free, but we are now redeemed to God. We're redeemed to be His people. And that was His plan with Israel. Was He said, I will be your God and you will be my people. There was a possessiveness. There was an identification. And would you turn with me to Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. And when we understand what God has done for us, we're going to understand, I hope today, what this means to be redeemed to Him and what are the side effects of that. Isaiah 43 verse 1, But now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. You are mine. We belong to God. Now, that's not just a nice little saying, like when you were courting, you know, a certain girl. Will you be mine? Won't you be mine? I'm His. It's actually a legal term, because the First Peter tells us that we were not redeemed or bought back with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. So the blood of Jesus is the only thing that could have obtained our eternal redemption. And so God Himself paid the price for you. Did you pay the price for your redemption? No. Did you pay it for someone else? So if God paid the price for you, that means He owns you. He owns you. You belong to Him. Probably most of us that are here today, if you're driving a vehicle, you may have not been the first owner of that vehicle. You see somebody's vehicle and say, oh man, that's a nice vehicle. Oh, I got it from Singapore. Oh, I got it from South. Oh, we got it from Dar es Salaam. That means someone else owned it before you. And maybe there's a cigarette burn on the carpet, or there's a certain smell that's not your smell. You're the second owner. But the reason that you are the owner is because you paid a price to obtain it. And so when you register that, when it says absolute owner, there's your name. Because you paid for it and it belongs to you. And that means anyone that's trying to get it from you is a thief. And so it belongs to you. And so the title deed to our life is the name of the absolute owner is God. It is not your name. He does not redeem us from the enemy for ourself or to ourself, but he redeems us to himself. We belong to God. And so because of that, he has the right to make some incredible claims over our life. And some incredible things about us because he has the right to. These are not suggestions. These are legal terms that he can enforce in our life because he is the one who paid the price. Look at Revelation 5. This is as the elders are around the throne of God and they're worshiping him. Revelation 5 and verse 9, it says, "And they sang a new song saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation.'" Aren't you glad that your group is included? Verse 10, "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." We are redeemed to God. We are not redeemed to ourselves. We are not redeemed to our spouse. We are not redeemed to our family, but we are redeemed to God and for his purposes and for his honor and for his glory and his alone. Alone. No one else shares that other than God, because he is the rightful owner of our life. Amen. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And this is a logical sequence of how the Holy Spirit used Paul to explain why God is going to make some pretty stout instruction for us here. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 18. "Flee sexual immorality." And we could preach there for a couple months, right? But have you noticed in the Bible that that's what it says to do with sexual immorality? It doesn't say to negotiate. It doesn't say to, you know, consider. It says to run. Run. The other day I watched a guy. He was getting chased by about five guys. I don't know what the dispute was. But he was running. He was not going to stick around to find out what they were going to do to him. Amen. And so when sexual immorality is around or we confront it, it is to run from it. And it's the exact opposite of what happened in Proverbs 6, 5, 6, and 7. You know, the guy who meets the not so good woman in the street and she begins to talk about bedrooms and spices and he's like, "Oh, really? Tell me more." No. When he hears the room bedroom, you should see this guy running down the street. Ah! Amen. Run, Forrest, run. Okay, that's enough of that. All right. But he's going to connect this, all right, his claims about our sexuality, he's going to connect this to something. "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Now that's an interesting statement. You are not your own. Well, how can that be? Well, he's going to explain it in verse 20. "For," or "because, you were bought at a price." That's called redemption, to buy. What was the price? It was the blood of Jesus. Who paid the price? God did. So who owns you? God owns you. You belong to him. So that means he has the right to claim what you do with your body. Huh? Well, I believe in women's rights. I believe in man's rights. I believe in a woman's right to choose. What about God's rights? God's rights are legitimate on your life. If you are a believer, if you are born again, then you don't have women's rights. You don't have man's rights. You have the obligation to glorify God in your body because it belongs to Him. God's rights over your life. Now, see, all these other things we've been talking about, redemption. Oh, hallelujah, I'm free from lack. Free, free, free. We danced and we shouted about being free, right? Free from demons. Free from the curse. Oh, let me just tell you, there's going to be less dancing today. Because, yes, we are redeemed from those things, but now we belong to God. And now we have a responsibility to Him and to Him alone for our life. Now, here's the interesting thing about what God did when He redeemed us. When He redeemed us and He bought us back and He brought us out, He didn't just take us to heaven. He left us here on the earth. And He also gave the stewardship of our life to us. How many of you, an angel came into your room and grabbed you and tied you with golden string and carried you to church today? No. No, that was a decision that you made. God says, don't stay away from each other, but come together, worship. And so you followed the instruction of the Word of God, or perhaps your spouse or your parents, some of you, all right? Before the age of 16, I didn't want to go to church, but I went anyway because my mother made me. Hallelujah. Parents, if your kids are still in your home, don't ask them if they want to go to church. Parents, if your kids are in your home, they're under the age of 18, don't ask them if they're going to church. You just hog tie them and bring them. That's what we do. If you want to eat in my house, if you want me to pay the electric bill, you're coming to church. Now, when you're grown up, you can make that your own decision. Bring them kicking and screaming. All right. But he gives us the responsibility for our own life. Look back at that verse again. Verse 20. For you were bought at a price. Okay, who did that part? Who did the buying? God. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Who does that? Whose job is that? It's our job. Now, what we're going to see is we're going to need a lot of help to do that. We're going to need His power and His grace. But that's our job. The redemption is His job. Glorifying God and taking the responsibility to glorify God, that is our job. Now, since He owns us, He has the right to tell us that. No one else does. It is for His purposes and for His purposes alone. Romans 14. Romans 14 and verse 7. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. We belong to the Lord. He purchased us. He bought us. So therefore, our life is a life of stewardship. Now, whenever every single person on this earth comes into the earth on a day, and we leave this earth on a day, there's the date of our birth and there's the date of our death, correct? And on a tombstone, there are 2 days. All right, there's the day we came and there's the day we left. And in between those 2 dates is a dash or a hyphen, right? God allows us to be the stewards of our dash. We only get 1 dash. You've never seen a tombstone that said October 25th, 1947, you know, January 21st, 1972, and then a second date. 1st of January, 1985, and then another 4 years. No, no. One dash, one life, one chance to glorify God in this earth. All right? But He gives us the responsibility for this. He doesn't make our decisions. He doesn't force us to do things. The Bible says that we yield to the Holy Spirit. We obey the Scriptures. So even though He's the owner, He gives us the responsibility. How many of you have ever lived in a home that you didn't own? That is, someone else owned it and you were a renter. All right? I've lived in a few of those. All right? Come on, lift up your hand. Just humor me. Okay, thank you. All right. Now, what happened was when you entered into that house, there was an agreement. All right? And whether it was signed or there was still an agreement that came into place. And you had to pay a certain amount of money by a certain date. And there was also responsibility that was given to you. You need to keep it in order. You need to do certain things. If you make any alterations, you need to get permission, right? Some of the lease, I remember my wife and I had a couple where we had to paint all of the inside walls white again before we left. We had to clean it up, make it nice. And here's the thing, that the owner of that house is going to check. That is, there's accountability. Wherever you see stewardship, there's always an account for the stewardship. That is, someone is going to be looking and they're going to make sure that you are holding your terms of the lease. And if not, there's trouble because the house belongs to them. All right. How many of you, maybe you've seen it around town. Maybe you've driven one of these kind of vehicles, but a company vehicle, right? That the branding, the logo, it's on the vehicle. And so when the vehicle drives by, you go, oh, well, there goes Zesco. Or there goes this certain company, right? I know the panel beaters in our city were very, very happy, you know, when Celltel became Zane and then Zane became Airtel because they had to keep painting the same trucks all the time, right? Different branding, correct? So you realize that the driver who's driving that vehicle, it's not their vehicle. And so they need to represent the values of that company while they're driving it. You may have seen this, that there are trucks that you come along and you come behind. And they said, if this driver is being rude or disorderly, please call this number. Why? We want to know if he's reflecting who we are accurately. Imagine if you, think of a company in town that you feel is successful and doing well and they have a good brand and you see one of their vehicles driving down the road and the door is being held together with chicken wire and there's black smoke billowing out the back and the side window is broken and it's taped, you know, like this, you know, and somebody's painted on the back, Jehovah God, you know. And you think, that's not that company. What have they done to that vehicle? They're not representing the company that owns the vehicle very well. Correct? That's what Paul is saying. Our vehicle that we drive around in this life, our body, our life, our dash, it belongs to God. He is the absolute owner. We're just the driver. We've been given responsibility to go through this life with Him. But when people see our vehicle, it is branded with God, branded by the Holy Spirit. They need to say, "Woo, El Shaddai." They don't need to call the number on the back. God, you've got a driver down here. You know what? This is what the world has a problem with the church. Because they don't expect the world to be okay. Junked up car, here's the black smoke. But here comes a crazy junked up vehicle, person that's not redeemed, and their life is a mess. And all of a sudden here comes a believer, and the two vehicles look pretty much the same. The divorce rate is the same. And this one was about sexual immorality. It seems to be kind of the same. No. We are to reflect the one who owns us, the one who has the right on our life. Now here's the other thing. If you don't own your house, you need permission from the owner for modifications. Imagine if the owner came by your house one day and they drove by and you just painted it pink, purple, and yellow. They're like, what have you done to my house? The lease says you need permission to do that. And you didn't get permission. That's why, you remember in the book of James, it says, you know, these people are saying we're going to go over here and we're going to travel, we're going to do all these things. And James says, don't say that. Say if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills, I'm going to drive my car here. You know, there are certain Christians, they've got their whole life planned out without God. Well, in 4 years, I'm going to get a degree. In 2 more years, I'm going to get a master's. And at the very last year of my master's, that is when I'm going to get married. 2.5 years later, I'll have a baby and then another baby. I'm going to buy. They've just decided their whole life. Wait a second. Time out. Who does your life belong to? You? No. Well, I'm a self-made man. Well, that's why your life is a mess. Because you made it. No, hook up with the owner. Hook up with his lease agreement on your life. And he will take you farther than you ever dreamed. And when you submit to his will, see, the Holy Spirit lives in us. We're the driver, but we're getting our direction from him. So we're driving down the road of life. And we think, I think I'll take a left. And the Holy Spirit, no. Don't do that. Okay, you know best. See, he sees the end from the beginning. So we just let him speak to our life. We let his word be our guide. And we won't go wrong in this life. But I feel like in church, and thank God for what we know of our rights in Christ and what belongs to us. And I've been telling you that for a few weeks, what belongs to you. But you also need to know what belongs to God. Yes, we have rights, but we have responsibilities. And they're huge, and they're big, and they're significant. The Message Bible says, God owns the whole works. So let people see God in and through your life. Let people see God in and through your life. So as believers, we are given the stewardship of our life, but we will give an account to God for our life. Now, what gets us into heaven is not, well, God, here's what I've done and here's what... No, it's the blood of Jesus that gets us into heaven. But if you remember last year, Reverend Pakuta Monza shared with us about the rewards and the stewardship of our life, that we will give an account to whom, with whom we have to do. He's the owner and he will be checking. So, what should you and I do? What is our response to this? So God has redeemed us. God has taken us out of that place of bondage where we really couldn't, we weren't even in control of our life and life was a mess. But he took us out of that. And he's delivered us and he's redeemed us. Then what you and I need to do is to take responsibility for the stewardship of our own life. You see, we belong to him, but we have responsibility for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. So let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Paul used it elsewhere, stewards of the grace of God. And when we think stewardship, what we realize that it does not belong to us. Do you realize, how many of you brushed your teeth this morning? Okay, ladies, this would be a good time to pick future boyfriends. Did they raise their hand up on the first try? Okay. But did you realize that when you brushed your teeth, you were brushing God's teeth? Pastor, they're my teeth. It's my body. I can do with my body what I want to do with my body. No. I am sorry, your teeth are God's teeth. It belongs to Him. When you put food in your mouth, as a believer, whose body are you putting food into? God's. When you put the 12th beer down your throat, whose body are you putting it in? God's body. When you're dating and hanging out with a crazy woman, that's God's body. Or a crazy man. It's God's. It belongs to Him. So Paul says, consider, we're stewards. Stewards with responsibility. Stewards with accountability of the mysteries of God. Verse 2, moreover, it is required. Tell your neighbor, that sounds important. Like if you're getting an orientation in a school and they're talking about, okay, here's the da-da-da, and this is required, that's when your ears perk up, right? That means this is not extra credit. This is like important, required. It is required in stewards. Tell your neighbor, that's me. Say, I'm a steward. It is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Found faithful. The New International Version, NIV, says, those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Prove faithful. That is what is required in a steward. And whenever you see Jesus talking about stewardship, whenever He gives a parable, or He talks about this subject, there's always this idea of faithfulness. The guy gives money, three people. He says, all right, I'm coming back. What did you do with my money? Give me an account. I'm checking. I want to know because it's my money. It's not your money. Well, I hid it. I buried it. Well, that's not what I told you to do. I told you to use it. Well, but I knew you were a really severe man. Here comes the smokes. Here comes all the nonsense, right? Mm-mm. It's His. Our body belongs to Him. Amen. Our life, the dash. He bought it and He wants it for His purpose, not your purpose. Not your family's purpose. Not your grandmother's purpose. Hello? I'll say this and I'll say it till I'm blue in the face. If I followed the will of my family, I would not be standing before you today. I would be out of the will of God. I love my family. Love my mom and dad. Love my grandparents. I respect them. But every turn I ever took with God, someone in my family opposed it. And when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, I will not stand there with my grandmother. Well, Jesus, you know, grandma said that wasn't a really good idea. Wrong answer. We stand alone. Why? Because we alone are accountable. We alone are responsible for our life. No one else is. And so that's why last week we told you, if you've got issues in your life, bad things that are going, don't blame it on the family curse. Don't blame it on the demons. Well, you know, I'm going through a divorce because there's a curse of divorce on my family. You're going through a divorce because one or two of you or both disobeyed the Bible. Full stop. No curse. Well, Pastor, I stole that money. It was like a demon got a hold of me. You've got powers over demons. You're responsible to rebuke demons. You resist the devil, James says, and he will flee from who? Doesn't say get the pastor to resist the devil. Get the TV preacher to, resist the devil. No, you resist the devil. And he'll flee from you. You are responsible. Now, that is empowering. That means I don't have to wait for anything. I have the name of Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the Word of God. I can go forward in life. But it also means you're going to have to stop blaming everyone else. You're going to have to stop blaming your past and the people in your past. It's like the guy that was walking down the road, and it was the rainy season, and there was a big pothole, and this huge truck splashed all the mud on this poor guy. It was a businessman. He was on his way to a business meeting. And from top of his head to the soles of his feet, he's just covered in mud. But thankfully, when that truck sped by, he got the number plate. ABZ423. I've got it. And so he gets home and he's covered in mud. And his wife said, "What happened to you?" "Oh, I'll tell you what. That truck did me wrong." "Well, honey, can I pour you a bath?" "No, no, no. They're responsible for this and they're going to make this right." "Oh, really?" So he wakes up in the next morning. The sheets are all dirty. His wife doesn't even want to get near him because he's covered in mud. Eats his breakfast through the mud in his lips. Goes to the office, sits at the board. "Joe, what happened to you? Why are you so dirty?" "Ha ha, don't worry. I've got the number plate. ABZ423. And they're going to come and wash me and fix this. Because they did it and they're going to fix it." No, no, no. Many of you, the world has done you wrong. Maybe life did you wrong. Maybe you made some choices. Maybe people have hurt you. They are not responsible for fixing you. You are responsible for fixing you. The woman with the issue of blood, 17 years she had gone to doctors. She had spent everything that she had. But when she heard about Jesus, she said, "If I touch him, I will be made whole." She didn't blame it on the doctors. They did what they could do. She didn't blame it on how she got it. But she said, "I'm going to go see Jesus." And when she got there, everybody was crowded around Jesus. And it was a risk because she wasn't supposed to be there. And so she worked her way through the crowd and got a hold of Jesus. And she said, "Oh, who touched me?" Because someone touched me with faith. Blind Bartimaeus was by the roadside. And he heard that it was Jesus. And he says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. He will always stand still for the cry of mercy. But the disciples said, "Shh, you're bothering the master. We need to protect his anointing. I'm his armor bearer. We've got important things to do, don't you know? He's the Messiah." And he was told to be quiet. And he cried out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." If people tell you to be quiet, you just turn up the volume. If there's a crowd, you just get through the crowd. "Well, Pastor, I gave my CV to two companies." "Well, give it to 202 companies. Huh? Go to their house. Find their number. Harass them in the restaurant. Do something about it." What is required of those who have been given a trust is faithfulness. What does God say to do in this situation? When we make a decision, when we take responsibility, that is when the grace of God kicks in. That's when the power of the Word of God kicks in, when we take steps of obedience. I tell you what, I was so, so blessed. And let me, I just want to make sure you get this in the right context of your life, okay? Because I believe in the ministry and I believe in church ministry, but there is ministry that is not done from a pulpit. It is done from a boardroom. It is done in a hospital room. It is done in a classroom. And God calls men and women to make a difference everywhere. And as much as God calls men, I believe, to preach and to be evangelists, God also calls people into the world to make a difference with their gifts and their anointing. This last Thursday night, I was invited to go to UTH and to speak to a group of physicians, medical doctors. And it was on the subject of abortion. And they asked me to give a theological deal on it. And there was a lady, a professor, wonderful woman. She gave a medical point of view. And then there was someone else that gave a legal point of view, the laws of the nation. And there was a discussion. And I was so blessed to be among these men and women. because all of them saw what they were doing in the medical world as a calling to make a difference into suffering humanity's life. And they were talking about all the hard cases and the situations of abortion and all of the things around that. And there was a wonderful Catholic lady who was a retired obstetrician. And she said that in her lifetime that she had, because of her belief in the Bible, she had allowed that, and she never, ever, ever agreed to an abortion. And she would never sign off on it. And she said, the satisfying thing was there were times where I would be invited to the wedding of a baby that was not aborted and later became married. And I went to that baby that's now grown up's wedding. She lived her whole life making a difference, taking the word of God and the principles of God into the medical world. Because see, what she's doing, a preacher can't do that. An evangelist can't do that, but it is saying, God, take my life. You've called me into the medical profession. I am not doing this for a Mercedes. I'm not doing this for a house in Cabalanga. I am doing this to honor you. I'm doing this to glorify you. I am doing this so that when people see me, they go, ooh, there's a Jehovah vehicle. Ooh, there's an El Shaddai vehicle. Glorifying God in our life and in our bodies. Amen. I was so proud of one of our members this week. And we were chatting about certain things, and they're in the business world. And they were telling me, you know, Pastor, I had made some mistakes in the business world, and it cost me. And there were things, there were setbacks. But I learned what I did wrong, and there were problems that I did. And I always saw it as everybody else's problem. But I made the adjustment, and I made the turn. And there's a way out. The hole is no longer getting deeper. But I'm coming out. Amen. Isn't that awesome? I had another conversation with a church member, and they said, Pastor, you know what? I can't tell you how many times I've been swindled in business by Miracle Life members. There's no hallelujah there, right? You see, that's someone not glorifying God. That's someone not honoring God's word. And what I want you to do today is I want you to take inventory. Are you fulfilling the lease agreement with your life with God? Because He owns you. He owns you. I don't own you. Well, I go to America Life. You know, Pastor, and these are my people. No, they're not my people. They're God's people. I'm a steward of my life. I'm a steward with God for your life. Amen? Are you being faithful with the body that God gave you? 1 Corinthians 6 was very, very specific. Are you honoring God? Are you glorifying God sexually in your life? Are you fleeing when you need to flee? And it's real simple. God, He makes it so simple that even people who are not highly intelligent could understand. Before you're married, no sex. After marriage, lots of sex with one person until one of you die. Isn't that simple? Not 52 clauses. Well, not, you know, see above and no, just boom, just easy. Are you doing that? Is that the direction you've set for your life? Have you allowed the owner who owns your body, that made your body in the way that it was made? Are you letting him in his terms? Well, Pastor, you know, this is 2011, and you know, you just don't understand everything. Hey, I'm just the middleman. I'm just proclaiming, hopefully, what God says. But take inventory. How are you conducting yourself financially? Do you pay your bills on time? Like the date that it says, before this or after that? Do you do it on time? Or do the lights go out and then you go pay the bill? If you're in business, does Friday, it will be done Friday, does that mean it will be done Friday? Or does it, what it really mean is, I want you off of my back and I still want your business, so I'm going to tell you Friday, but there is no way I'm going to get it done on Friday. It'll probably be 2 weeks from now. Are you honest in business? Are you? See, we're talking about you, right? Who's responsible for you? You. You are. You're empowered for your life. So take inventory. Are you being responsible with your emotions? Well, Pastor, you don't understand. My wife made me so mad. She just drove me crazy. I started throwing things. If it wasn't for this wife. No. Your wife gave you a marvelous opportunity to lose your temper, and you took the opportunity. Huh? Are you responsible for your emotions? Well, Pastor, I was talking to this person. All of a sudden, these four-letter words just started blah, 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 blah. And if they just wouldn't have pressed me, if they wouldn't have pushed me. No. If someone's pushing you, just take a few steps back. And then they won't push you. No, Pastor, you don't understand. They know how to push my button. Well, don't let them push your button. Walk away from that person. Are you responsible for your emotions? Are you responsible for your time? Your time. And really, that is our greatest resource in the whole world. It's not our money. It's our time. We can't get more time. It's all we have. Are you being responsible for the time that God gave you for this season of your life? And really, so many times in life, we're always looking out to the beyond. Oh man, when I get married, it's going to be awesome. Oh, when I have kids, it's going to be awesome. Oh, when the kids leave the house, it's going to be awesome. When my wife dies, it's going to be awesome. I am free, free at last. And we're always looking. When I get my master's, one day, Jesus. No. What about today, right here? And I'm talking to these doctors, and the one says, well, I'm a sixth-year medical student. I'm an eighth-year medical student. I'm thinking, wow, that's a long time. What if you're a second-year medical student? Well, glorify God in year two and enjoy year two. And then step into year three and have the best year three ever. Well, I just can't wait till my time is coming. Oh, the world is going to see. No. Just be right now. Glorify God now. And be faithful. Be faithful. Now. Well, my day is coming. When I own a business, people will know about me. But you're an employee now. Do you turn your petty cash in on time? Well, Pastor, that's not really the anointing on my life. No, it's called faithfulness. Jesus said this, if you're not faithful in another man's, you're not going to have your own. Wake up. Smell the coffee. But the wonderful, the good news is today, friends, you can be responsible today. And maybe the money isn't enough. But you know what you can do with the money that you have? Be faithful with it. I'm looking after this. I'm taking care of it. I'm going to help it to grow. I'm going to honor God with this money. I sure would love three times this money. But right now, I'm going to be faithful. Well, the Lord is going to bless me with a house. A house is be my own. Are you faithful to the landlord? When he comes to your house, have you improved his house? Or is he, well, that's not my house. When I have my own house, it'll be looked after. You're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. Be faithful. Be responsible today. Amen? Now, I realize that when it comes to taking responsibility, all of us come from a certain background. Some, maybe you were given too much responsibility as a young person. I know people who maybe when they were 14, 15, 16 years old, maybe they were orphaned, their parents were not around. And so they, at 15 years old, they basically had to raise four children. And they were children themselves. Really, that's too much responsibility. There were others that were brought up where mother still brought you tea in bed when you were 25 years old. And so you were helped to be irresponsible. But none of us have a perfect background. But we have a perfect Jesus. We have a perfect Redeemer. And the things that have happened in our past, some of them really, really, really aren't our fault. Was it my fault that my parents got divorced? No. I did nothing to ask for that. But now I am responsible to learn how to be a husband. My dad didn't teach me, so someone else is going to have to teach me. That's my job. And if my wife says, Walker, you're not being a very good husband. Well, you just have to understand, I came from a divorced home. And you should just be happy that I'm here. No. No. Be a man. Be a woman. Rise up. Get the answers that you need. Reach out. Press through the crowd. Hallelujah. Take responsibility. It is our responsibility to let Jesus be seen in my life. And if he's not, it's not the devil's fault. It's nobody's fault but mine. And that means we can learn. And let me encourage you. No matter what your past is, no matter what your background is, you can take responsibility today. I was telling somebody the other day, there are things I'm learning right now at 43 years old. I wish I would have gone to that class 10 years ago. But I didn't. Guess what? Go to the class now. Get the learning, get the training, get the change now. Don't wait any longer. Amen? Let's rise up and let's let, when the vehicle of our life drives by, let's let people go, wow, that's Jesus. That's Jesus. And I'm talking about church stuff. I'm not talking about, you know, well, Pastor, you really bless me. Thank you for that word. And I appreciate that you say that. But the real compliment is my wife and kids. Thank you, Dad, for loving me. Thank you for getting up in the middle of the night to clean up my vomit. Thank you, husband, for being like Jesus to me. See, that's real life. That's every day. Amen? Most of us can kind of get spiritual enough on a Sunday to get by. But God wants to take this stuff and he wants to invest us into the world and to glorify himself through our life. That people will see our good works and then glorify our Father in heaven. Tell your neighbor, I can do that. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Praise team, just come. I want us to sing a song as a way of responding to God. Of responding to God. You see, we are responsible to him for our life. But we can do it with his help and by his grace. Just bow your heads with me right now. Close your eyes. And there may be some of you that you just need to talk to God right now. You just see, you know, Father, when I take these inventories, my emotions have been out of control. My body, honoring you sexually, it's been out of control. My money, it's a mess. See, when we confess, that's when we take responsibility. That's when we say, yeah, Lord, that's me. It is so liberating. It is so wonderful to say, Lord, it is me who stands in the need of prayer. Just go ahead and talk to him right now. Maybe there's some things that you want to just close your eyes. Close your eyes. Just talk to him. Just talk to him. And when you take responsibility, that's the step out the door. That's the step to life and to freedom and to grace. Say, Lord, you know what? I just need to admit that's me. This is not to push you down. This is to lift you up, to raise you up with him and his power. Father, thank you. Thank you for your life. Thank you for your love. Oh, Father, thank you. That you're the God who never gives up on us. You're the God who is faithful. You're the God whose mercy endures forever. You're the God who walks with us good shepherd who leads and guides us and provides. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Let's just make this song our prayer today. I would invite you, just close your eyes so you can just have that sense of being alone and intimate with God. And let's sing this song together to the Lord.
This is my desire.
I believe the Lord would like to speak to certain individuals here. And maybe there's been a season of your life or a part of your past before you knew Him or even after you knew Him where you did a lot that did not honor Him. And as we were going through that list, there's so much guilt and there's so much shame. And there's so much, if I would, if I could have, and you feel like now you have to pay that price all the way for the rest of your life. No, friend. He's a redeemer. He's a redeemer. He's a redeemer. And though your sins may be like crimson, He can make them white as snow. And maybe you didn't do things right in your sexuality or in your finances. Or maybe there were things that you allowed into your life. But today can be the day that you stop. Today can be the day where you look up and you find the hope and the grace. It doesn't have to go on that path. It doesn't have to go on that track. There is a Redeemer who loves you. He cares for you. And you need to get your eyes off of your past and get it on it. Take responsibility now, yes. But take that responsibility and look to Jesus. Look to Jesus right now. Give Him the rest of your life. Give Him the rest of your dash. And I'm speaking to Christians right now. I'm speaking to Christians who've been through divorce, who've been through immorality, who have dishonored God in your money, who have made a lot of bad choices. Oh, today, it can begin afresh today. He will not throw away a bruised reed. He will not blow out a smoldering wick. But He has life for you. He has life for you. Receive that grace right now. Receive that grace. Just look to Him. Just lift up your hand and say, Father, I receive. I receive for the rest of my life. Oh, Father, there's power. As I take responsibility, Your power and Your grace is made strong when I'm weak. When I realize I need You, You come through for me. Oh, He loves You. He loves You. Thank You, Father. Thank You, Father. And now another group of people, just if you're here today and you've never given the Lord your heart, you're not a follower of Jesus. You can be. I'm not talking about joining a church or going to a class, but taking your life and putting it to the feet of the Master of Jesus to become a follower of His. You can do that today. It doesn't matter where you've come from. It matters where you're going. And you can receive Him. The Bible says to whoever receives Him, Jesus, God gives those people the power to become sons and daughters of God. God wants you in His family today. If you're a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, you left your father's house, you are a Christian, but your life is full of sin and rebellion, it's time to come home to God today. Leave the pig pen, leave the mess, and come to Him now. Come to Him now. And you say, Pastor, that's me. I want to give Him my heart. I want to give Him my life. I want Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. Friend, if that's you, right now, lift up your hand. Say, Pastor, that's me. I'm going to pray that prayer. Jesus is going to be my Lord and my Savior. Where are you? Where are you? From the front to the back. I want to be a child of God. Thank you, sir. Who will join this one? Well, this is your day, friend. This is your new beginning. Thank you, sir. Who else? Who else say, I need Jesus in my life? I need to come to Him. God bless you, sir. It's not finding religion. It's coming to Jesus Christ who loves you. Anyone else before we pray? We don't want to miss anyone at all. Before we pray, anyone? All right. Those of you that lifted up your hand or you feel like you should have lifted up your hand, I want you to come and meet me right up front. I want you to come and meet me up front. Just step out of your old life, grab your belongings, and I want to pray with you right here. This is a new day for you. This is a step in the right direction. Thank you, Lord. Just come. That song says, Lord, I give You my heart. I give You my life. And He can make something significant. He can make something special out of the life that you're going to give Him today. Now, we do that by receiving Jesus as our Lord. That means He's the boss. And as our Savior, that He's the only one that can help us. All right? So I'm going to lead you in a prayer. All right? And I'd ask you right now, just close your eyes and just lift up one of your hands towards heaven. Say this with me. Say, Father, just say it out loud. Say, Father, I come to You now. I give You my life, everything about me. I believe Jesus is Your Son. He died in my place. He was raised from the dead so that I can know You. I believe that, Father. Take me now as Your child. I leave my old life I leave the rebellion. I leave the sin. And I follow you now. Take every part of me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And I thank you now that I am your child. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 The Bible says that all of heaven is rejoicing because of you, because of what God sees for your life. Now, we have a book that we would like to put into your hand that we believe will help you. There's some people that would like to connect with you individually. If you would just turn and follow Nellie here, we've just got a room just private for you. Some people that would like to meet you. If you just go through this door with us, it'll be just a few minutes, then you'll be back with whoever you might have come to church with. Would you just follow us now? Thank you so much. Amen. Let's sing that first verse. We're going to sing that first verse in a chorus, and let's let this be our benediction. Let's this be our prayer to the Lord. Lord, it's my desire to honor you. It's my desire that you would be glorified in my life. And friend, if that's your desire and that's his desire, the two of you together can make that happen. Amen. Let's sing that and let's close.
This is my desire.
This week. We love you. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome day. You're dismissed.